Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast. I'm delighted to say that on this episode we have one of my favourite players from the Highland League days, Steve King. In part one, Steve talks about his early days in the Highland League with Rothes, joining Peterhead in 1992, and the rivalry with local rivals Fraserburgh.
Okay, this week's guest is a former Blue Toon favourite who played for a club in both the Highland League and in the Scottish League. I'm thrilled to have this week on the podcast is Steve King. Steve, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Colin. Cheers. How's yourself?
I'm not too bad. It's been a wee while since we've seen you playing for Peterhead. It must have been about 20 years since you were last in a Peterhead shirt.
It's been a while. A few grey hairs since then.
Some of the current squad weren't even born when you were playing, but I don't want to age you too much.
Thanks for that, Jesus.
We're off to a good start. You must have seen a lot of changes, though, in the club, even when you were there and even now since you were playing.
Yeah, I suppose, whether you can say you're fortunate to be part of the old set-up, I suppose we are. When I joined at Recreation Park with George, took the Flaming Toes, being part of the club there and seeing it evolve to where it is now, the club has, you know, whether you're a local or you're not and you agree with what's happened with the club going into the Scottish League, how the club's evolved from then to now is massive. Just totally different.
It's an interesting subject that I think sometimes it still gets mentioned even now, that maybe we've lost our local identity slightly in terms of the players that's coming in and managers and things like that. Do you think that's just part and parcel of how the clubs have evolved, or do you still need that local identity, do you think?
Yeah, I think at the time the club applied and were accepted, I think the locals were obviously going to be up in arms about it because there is that threat that you're going to lose that local presence. But I think to survive, and the club's probably realised it now, to survive in that level, there's no way that you're going to be able to achieve what they have achieved now purely on local person. I mean, you look at the clubs that have been in Ross County, Cali. You know, they will have an element of local, but they've certainly had to rely on a lot of travelling players to come to the club. Montrose, my ex-club, were no different. You know, they've been in the club for so many years and they've had to rely on players from Aberdeen, you know, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Dundee, the Angus clubs. And it's just, you have to move with the times. It is frustrating for the local community. I'm quite sure, you know, Jim McNally and his partner staff are developing the youth and within Peterhead and trying to bring out through some local rising stars. You know, we achieved with in the first couple of seasons, we didn't add a huge element of ex Scottish League players. It was generally a lot of the actual squad. It was in the Highland League. You know, we brought Billy Herden and some other experienced Scottish League players, and we managed to hold our own. But when you're looking at the long term future of the club, it's not sustainable. And I think you have to rely on that Scottish League expertise to come in and bring the club to where it is now and what it's achieved over the years.
You mentioned that Inverness there, obviously it was the two clubs that combined to create Inverness, Carly Thistle, and you know you've seen what they've done in the last 20, 25 years. So I guess you may upset a few people in short term, but there is that long term look up, in terms of what they want to achieve. And for Peterhead, they maybe had to look at that kind of style and say, well, if we're going to develop as a club, this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think now, if you were probably to ask a lot of locals now, it's maybe benefited a lot of local business people, you know, the club going into the Scottish League. And you look at, you know, what Cove has achieved locally as well, you know, they've achieved a huge amount in such a short space of time, but the pressure that they've now got going into the next division, the next step up is sustaining that. And that comes at a cost, not just financial, but it comes at a cost of losing some players that they've currently got to bring in new players. But I think going into the league is a big risk. Elgin, did this, moved at the same time as ourselves. And they've had to rely on bringing in a lot of ex-Scots League players also. But to achieve that, you need to bring in the financial support from local businesses and that. And I think some people will have benefited from that. And I think it's the small local businesses that you want to benefit rather than the bigger sort of corporate funding companies.
And there's a generation of Peterhead fans now that only really know Peterhead as a Football League side rather than a Highland League side now.
Yeah, exactly. And it is great to see. I mean, I think a lot of locals, and I was obviously one of them, we lost that local derby. A lot of fans thrived on the derby with the Brockers, the Fraser Burt. And it was, regardless of whether it was a cup game or a league game, those were special games. And just for the fans alone, going into the Scottish League meant that they lost that. And that's a lot for a lot of loyal supporters that have stood by the club over the years. But again, you can just see the appetite to succeed at a higher level from Peterhead, and what they've achieved over the last 10-15 years is phenomenal.
We'll touch on or speak more about Peterhead later on, but it'll be good to talk a bit more about yourself. A lot of people maybe didn't really know maybe much about your career prior to Peterhead, and maybe just people think you just played for Peterhead, but you had a couple of clubs prior to that, and you were in the Highland League with Rothes back in the late 80s.
Yeah, I was... played for a juvenile club, Don Shamrock, and I fell foul to a bit of naivety on my part, not knowing what I was going to do when I left juvenile football. I really honestly didn't know, and I didn't know how that side of things worked. And I played a game down at Inverdee with the pitches that they used for juveniles, and one of my mates, Steve Gerrard, his dad was assistant manager to Ray Bernardi at Rothes. And basically Jim signed myself and Stephen after one of the games. And the following night, that unknown to me, there were scouts at the game. And I had Dave Watson at Bucky Thistle, Tom Cummins at Cove, John Fitzpatrick at Huntley and Tone, and Jimmy Wilson and Keith phoned me that week asking what I was doing and would I be interested in. And I had to, embarrassingly, I had to say to each one of them, sorry, but I've already signed for Rothes. And I didn't, you know, I had no guidance. I was living with my auntie and uncle at the time, and it was just a naive mistake that whether it was, it affected my football over the... I never look back and think it was... I could have done anything better, because if anything, it probably made me a slightly better player playing for a so-called lesser club at the time compared to other clubs. Because I thoroughly enjoyed my 2 years at Rothes. Absolutely loved every minute. And it was a huge shock jumping from juvenile as a sporty kid into what we call the mayonnaise level of football. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely loved it. I loved Rothes as a club, and seeing what they've achieved, you know, in the last couple of years is a huge credit to a club of such a small community. But I loved it up there. And then obviously moving from there to Montrose again was an even bigger step. And it was a step I didn't actually think I ever in my wildest dreams was going to achieve. To this day, we used to get the Green Final. Most people will remember the Green Final, the sports paper on a Saturday, printed the Evening Express. And I this is no word of a lie. For some reason, I don't know why, but I used to watch Chick McClellan because I was a left back when I was younger. I used to watch Chick. My dad used to take me to see him when he was at Aberdeen. And for some reason, when I used to read the paper, I used to read the Montrose games, the little reports, and I used to name the team. And I remember the players that played for Montrose at that time, 90% of them at least were still at the club when I joined. And it was just a very surreal moment turning up to training and actually playing with McClellan and Barr and Martin Allen and otherwise and Artwright and John Sherrin, I pinched myself. So that was another level out with what I had been playing, and was a massive, massive learning curve. The Scottish League, the 5 years I had down there was just fantastic. I'd never swap it for anything.
Just going back to your time at Rothes, what was it like playing Highland League football at that time then in the 80s? Was it as rough and tough as what they make it out to be?
A lot of the players said it was tougher even before then, but that I didn't mind because that was just my, I suppose, I was never blessed with the skills of some players. I just had a winning mentality and I'd run through a brick wall for a team. And that was just me. I maybe had a couple of fleeting moments on the ball that probably I didn't even know I was doing myself, but looked good. But no, I think joining Ray Bernardi, taking me up there and playing at that level with, you know, Derek Thompson, B.B. Simpson and Derek Dewar, Jim Oliver, John McDonald, Robbie Baxter was fantastic. I'll never forget my trial game. I had a midweek trial game before they signed me, and I was up at Inverness Thistle's ground, and I was up against a guy called Titchy Black, who was apparently at the time was a flying winger, and I just remember I'm so nervous going out into playing in that environment. Never having done it before. But then after that, sort of history. But I loved it up there. It was a great, great club.
Some interesting away trips on the bus then, or was it fairly low key?
Well, that was the thing. They were a club. Rothes didn't have a lot of money then, and buses were. We used to get the car with about maybe two carloads of guys from Aberdeen used to go up to Rothes, and we didn't train with the guys during the week. We trained with lads called juniors in Aberdeen, and we only trained with them during pre-season. Some of the journeys were quite good. My mate Scotty Brown and I, he joined us in the second season. We used to go up and stay with some of the players over the weekend, Derek Thompson and David Simpson, and just stay back and have a good laugh with the guys. And they were a great, as I said, they were a great bunch of guys. You know, there was never any of this local boys taking an outsider from Aberdeen, and in fact, they made you so welcome, as did the whole club. It was a great experience, and we had one of the trips that we had pre-season was up to Shetland. We went and played a mini tournament up in Shetland, and that was an eye-opener. As a young lad, my word, that was a huge eye-opener. But again, it's just great memories that you know, you can't forget about. That it's fantastic.
So how did the move to Montrose come about then?
It was just an out of the blue. Johnny Cowie, who was the manager at the time, he was great. I mean, I love Johnny. He was a great manager, and you know, he knew what he was a great goal scorer in his day, and he just said that Montrose Football Club have come in for you. And obviously, the manager at the time, Ian Stewart, had been on the phone, as they do. They go behind closed doors and tap you. In terms of finding out your interest in coming to the club. And I was probably in a bamboozled at why I was being asked to go down and play in Scots League football. I really didn't, you know, I enjoyed my experience in Highland League only 2 years there. I thought, you know, I was only 19, 20, and I thought, well, why am I going down to, you know, that level? So, met Scott and I both went down. At the same time, went down the train and again, stupid boys thinking, because we were free agents, you know, going from a Highland League club to Scottish League at the end of your contract meant you were a free agent. So, of course, we were full of nonsense in our heads, thinking about how much money we were going to ask for. you know, just totally naive to the whole situation of Scottish League football. And we met, the manager, Ian Stewart, and Scott got pulled through in this hotel to discuss terms and stuff like that, and then I got pulled through, and we both agreed a stupid figure what we'd be asking for. We got absolutely nowhere near it. But to be honest, in hindsight, it was never about money. You know, and I know that the game has changed so much from a financial point of view in terms of the rewards that players get, even part time now, and it is gone a bit ballistic. But it is what it is, and we have to look at times. But back then, I could play for nothing. My beer money on a Saturday night, I think, was what your wages came to, and your signing on fees were nothing really. It didn't mean a lot to me, to be fair. Getting a jersey on a Saturday was all I was worried about.
And it wasn't unusual for a player to move from Highland League to what was the Scottish League at the time, in terms of, I think there was only three divisions at the time, the Premier League, Division 1, Division 2, so it wasn't an unusual thing, because quite a few players had moved from Highland League to that level.
Yeah, I mean, when I joined Montrose, we used to meet the same point for training Monday, Thursday, and three, sometimes four carloads of players, just for Montrose alone. And then we had the element of the Dundee guys, who had about two or three carloads also, and then with Davy Latter and a couple of guys from the goalie from Edinburgh. And that's what they relied on. They relied on that support. But you had a lot of Aberdeen players, you know, at the time Carly weren't in the division, but you know, even as Carly had, you know, Wilson Robertson, Kieran Mann there at Bob Summers, a lot of players from Aberdeen, but Scottish League definitely, you had, you know, likes of Paul Payne, Gary White at Forfar. You had players playing at Arbroath, so they relied on quite a bit. I don't think there's as many now in the sort of Angus clubs that, you know, that had Aberdeen players, but obviously you've got your Cove that are in there now also. But yeah, at the time, yeah, there was quite a lot of Aberdeen players playing in the Scottish League.
You mentioned Chick McClelland earlier on. Obviously, you now would be playing in the same team as him, both playing in the same position. So, was he a good person to learn from, or was he somebody that you were looking to learn from?
Yeah, I mean, so when I actually signed, he said that Chick was retiring, and I think Chick at the time was about 36, I think, around about that, and he said that we checked it down, he went to the left back, and he saw me as being a good fit for the club, for the team. And again, another naive from my part. It took me about 3 months to get a game, but because Chip trained and he played, and to be honest, it was probably the best thing for me, was to sit on the bench or in the stand and basically sit and watch him and learn from him, because he was a phenomenal defender, an unbelievable professional, you know, even at part-time level. And I learned a huge amount from him just watching him. He was never the best going forward, but there was very few strikers or wingers that got the better of him. And in those days, it wasn't compulsory to wear shin pads, and either I wore them. And some of the tackles he used to go in was... He used to turn away and he wouldn't look. But no, just actually sit and watch him, not just training with him and playing with him, but sit and watching him when I was so young was massive for me. And he was I treated him like a mentor. He was very, very good to me.
And when you say he was planning on retiring, and you obviously was lined up to replace him, had he decided what he was going to be doing before then, or was it just a case of he was hanging up his boots and then see what was going to happen then?
No, I think Chick was very good, obviously, from his Aberdeen contacts, and that Chick was excellent with the youngsters, and I think the manager, Ian Stewart at the time, had plans for Chick to support, be part of one of his backroom staff and support the younger guys coming through, so and Chip was excellent with the youngsters. But no, he knew I would be down, not getting a game, and, you know, putting the hard graft in, and he would always whisper in my ear, look, your time will come. And there was never anything hidden by it. He knew my time was going to come, and he knew I was down and not getting the opportunity when I thought I should have. And then there was one day he had an absolute stinker, rest in peace, Chip. But he did, he had a stinker over Clinstall and Albion. And I think he got taken off at half time. And I went on, and it was that was it after that.
He moved into the manager's position, I think, as well. De Groovy as co-managers. Was that an easy transition for you then to see him as a mentor to then being your manager?
Yeah, because he understood. I mean, I always understood Chicks, his attitude, his professionalism. So I knew what he expected of me when he played me. So when Chick and Doogie picked me. And Doogie's mentality was probably the same from a winning perspective. I knew exactly what they wanted from me when I put on the shirt. And again, as I said earlier, I was never a flair player. I was asked to do a job, and I would go and do it the best I could, and more if I could. Chick and Doogie were a funny partnership. Doogie played still. As well, and Chick was sort of like the manager on the side. Doogie was the manager on the pitch, and by golly, he was. The different views. It almost felt like if I get to play him, you can play him. They had that almost like their favourites at times. That's what it felt like anyway. Whether it was or not, I'm not sure. But you know, Doogie's presence on the pitch at his age and his fitness and his physique was phenomenal. And him and Andy Dorman were a phenomenal partnership at the back and at the centre. And Doogie's presence on the pitch just scared the bejesus out of a lot of defenders. But I found it quite easy, to be honest. I didn't really change the way I played. They pushed me into the left midfield as well as playing left back, and I played centre half as well a few times. So. I didn't have really a preference. All I cared about was playing and winning.
Did you notice a vast difference in playing in the Highland League to then playing in the Football League? Was there a big difference?
Well, this is a bone of contention. This one, this always brings up arguments for a lot of players in the Highland League that have played Scottish League. But I personally think that there is. It's not a massive difference. I think where you notice the difference, and some players that will have played in both will probably appreciate what I'm saying, is that the Scottish League, certainly the difference is the last 20 minutes of a game. I always felt that. Even when, you know, I went back in Scottish League with Peterhead back playing in there, I noticed it probably more so then. Maybe that's because I was getting older, I don't know, but certainly the last 20 minutes you cannot switch off. And the level of fitness, I think, is different. I think it's a higher level of fitness. Again, it's maybe changed days now, but certainly back then. And the argument is always that Highland League clubs think there wasn't a massive difference, but they were always comparing Highland League to Scottish League through a cup tie. So we are in Highland League. I've got a phenomenal track record of cup upsets and with Scottish League clubs, but a cup tie is totally different. When you're having to perform against, you know, as a Highland League club against a Scottish League club week in, week out, I think you would notice the difference. And that's why, you know, you look at the Elgins and the Ross Counties and the Inverness Carlos and now Cove, for example, as well. They're having to strengthen that team every season because the level's getting higher and higher. So, but no, I think that the level of football at Highland League is fantastic. I haven't seen any games of late, but certainly when we were involved, even when I went to Keith and played and even managed with Darren Still, I think it is a good level, definitely. It's a fantastic, and there's been a lot of fantastic players throughout Highland League in the past and even now. But it's not a massive difference between, but I think it's just that, as I said, the last 20 minutes of a game over a period of a season, I think that's when you do notice the difference.
Yeah, a one-off cup tie compared to, what, 36, 44 games over a season would be the difference.
Yeah, and you're playing against, you know, potentially ex-full-time Scottish Premiership players as well, that you know, maybe nearing the end of their full-time career and they're taking a drop back down to playing, you know, part-time in the Scottish League. And they strengthen the smaller clubs. So you're competing against that as well. And you're competing like, not just against fitness, experience as well. So it's it is a difference.
You got promotion in 91, up to the what was the first division then. So good season for yourself personally as well then.
Yeah, it was one of those seasons. Still in Albion, they won the championship then, and it went to the wire. We were away to Queen of the South last game of the season, and it was a funny one because earlier in that season we had them at home in the B&Q Cup, and we got beat 7-4 after extra time. And I had scored a hat-trick that night. I know some won't believe that, but I did. And I didn't even get the match ball. Because I think it was a boy, Maguire, scored 4 for Queen of the South. So that was a bit of a... it wasn't a great night. But we managed to make amends. But we had to play them last game of season. And I think it was... If we had gotten beaten, Cowdenbeath had won. Cowdenbeath went up, I think, with Stirling Albion, but we beat them 3-0 on the last day of the season on a very bumpy, rock hard pitch, and there was a huge support down from the toes. I mean, it was a fantastic day. It really was, and going up to play in the first division again is something that, you know, players of, you know, my ability and levels, it's just a dream come true. It's,
yeah, you're one division below the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. You were playing against some of the clubs in the first division at the time. I think Kilmarnock, Dunfermline, Dundee, Park Thistle were full time. So we're playing against all those clubs, and to play against them every week was, you know, you dream about playing them in cup ties, but playing them in you know, every week was just superb. It was fantastic, great experience.
Did you find that you enjoyed playing at that higher level, or testing yourself against these supposedly better players or full-time players?
Oh, aye, absolutely. I mean, you did. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You would go out with a Tommy Rumlin full of nerves. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But you just had to embrace it. And once the whistle went, you know, you were just up against another player in my head. But yeah, no, you just, those occasions, you've just got to, you've got to take them when they come. You know, we had some great cup games to be a part of and play again. We had League Cup at Dundee United. I was up against Dave Bowman, Hearts at Tynecastle. I was up against John Cahoon. I mean, that was a phenomenal experience. I mean, the manager told me before the game, so I want John Cahoon in the stand in 5 minutes. I kid you not, it took me 50 minutes to get a booking. I couldn't get near him. But he was phenomenal. But yeah, it's moments like that, you look back now and you know, you look at your press curtains and all that kind of stuff. And it does, you have to pinch yourself and think, God, did I actually play then? And I've always been grateful for the opportunities I've been given, you know, from any football club. And all I've done is to try and repay them is to do the best I can. But yeah, that level, first division, was fantastic.
As good as that year might have been, the following year maybe wasn't that great. Obviously, it ended with, I think, a relegation, straight back down again. Mm-hmm. Was that one of the highest highs and then one of the lowest lows?
Yeah, I landed in hospital. I had an operation on the stomach, and I missed probably a good percentage of the second half of that season. It was on Hogmanay, and we were due to forfeit away. I think it was Jim Leeson's first game. Which Chicken and Doogie both got sacked, and Jim took the club on board. And I only managed to play, I think, maybe 6 or 7 games the rest of the season. Under Jim, and we got relegated that year, and it was disappointing because we started the league off really quite well. We were holding our own, you know, we were doing quite well, and we didn't actually, Chicken Dougie didn't actually spend a lot of money bringing a lot of players in. It wasn't until Jim came in that he started adding players. Jim Smith, Craig Forbes, Graham Forbes, Cammy Fraser, etc. So then a lot of other players started coming in to obviously try and strengthen the squad and stay up. But you know, we failed that, and that was disappointing. After that,
how did you get on with Jim Leishman then?
But if you're watching this, I got on with Jim. He's a character. He played me. I can't, you know, when I did get fit, he played me. I can't say he didn't. He wanted to keep me. There was a loophole in the Scottish League at the time. My work, obviously, I worked in the oil and gas industry, and my work was pulling me back sort of home. And that was when I got the call from John Adams at Peterhead. So yeah, it was disappointing to leave the club. Because I loved my time down the Toes. It was a very special time. Coming back to Highland League, it probably suited me, I think, especially for my job.
I was going to say, because obviously moving back to the Highland League, there was obviously reasons for it, but did you get any other offers at the time once you left Montrose to stay within the Football League, or was it just Highland League?
Yeah, it was just a Peterhead offer. And I think the was it the manner in which I left? I mean, I left on good terms with the club, but I think Jim got a bit incensed at me leaving because he wanted me to stay at the club, but it was a loophole in the Scottish League that allowed any Scottish League player out of contract to sign for a lesser division free as a free agent. And at the time, what they were doing was, they were trying to measure it against Paul McStay. Celtic was a free agent. He could go and sign for a Highland League club. Celtic would get nothing. And it was the same for a couple of players that were at Forfar. Gary White and Paul Payton, they both signed for Huntley as free agents as well. So, you know, there was a bit in the press about it, and Jim was a bit cheesed off. And I can understand it, but I never saw it that way. I had good reasons to leave the club, and that's when George had approached me and asked my interest to join Peterhead.
And what was the first season like back in the Highland League? Was it similar to what it was when you were there at Rothes in terms of the abilities and the standard?
I would say it took me a little bit of time to get adjusted to it again, purely because of I'd good five good years. What I thought at the time was a different level, so it did take a little bit of time. You know, George's management skills, I mean, I have a lot of time for George, and he was a character and a half, I have to admit, but his appetite to try and succeed at that level with youngsters, very much like Charlie Duncan at Fraserburgh. I liked how George was trying to achieve things and give youngsters opportunities, and he just wanted to bring me as a so-called more experienced player to come in and help out there on the playing side. But yeah, no, it was the right decision for me. You always look back and think, have you made mistakes? And definitely not. The 10 years I had at Peterhead were absolutely fantastic, with a lot of achievements, personal and team, club, and loads of memories.
What was those Brock Derby games then like to play in? Were they fierce?
Oh, I absolutely loved them. I don't know if some of the Aberdeen players that were at Peterhead at the time didn't like them, but I absolutely lapped them up. I remember my very first experience of Fraserburgh at Bellesley was with Rothes. At that time, as I said, covered my face like a pizza, and really short hair, spiky. And I, being a left back, I was always down by the supporters, taking throw-ins, etc. And I used to get a lot of stick, and I was away to take a throw, and I was out in the corner of my eye, just 10 of 10 inch landing. I was tempted to pick it up and take a drink out of it, but you just don't know what those Fraserburgh the supporters would have done to it. But no, I absolutely loved the derbies. and any Peterhead player, I would say, especially local, you know, your John Sibbles, Jim Bain and Jim Guyne and Ian Fraser, and I'll tell you exactly the same. They're a special occasion, and I just absolutely loved it because I loved the needle. And the thing is, I've got an utmost respect for the club, but I think they're a phenomenal club, and what they've achieved and the players that have come out of that club is just, it's scary what they've been able to achieve with local players. I'm not sure how much so much now and what Mark's done bringing in youngsters, but certainly the local, and then they still rely on it, but certainly with Charlie and Bruce are there. What the players that they had were just a very special team, I thought. I know that's going to be hard for some Blue Tuners to hear, but they were. And you have to take your hat off to them and give them credit where credit's due, but they were just a team that you could not switch off. Absolutely couldn't switch off. They fought to the very end, and they had a knack of getting that last minute goal. And I'll never forget the Aberdeenshire Shield Cup final at Cove, and we were absolutely giving them a torrid time. We were 3-0 up, I think, at half time. We start the second half, and the Shield was up in the Cove director's box that you could see through the glass. And I'm not ashamed to admit that, so I can't wait to get my hands on that Shield. And as the kickoff, I remember Colin Mill hitting the post. I would have been to go 4-0 up. But typical Fraser Bristol, they fought to the end. They beat 6-3 after extra time. I remember also McBride, I think, slid in the back post with 3 minutes in injury time to make it 3-3. But that was just the club that they were. But no, I've got a lot of really good friends. You know, Paul Keith, I used to have battles with him. Chris Hunter, really good friend. Battles with them, Mikey Stephen, Wee Moby. Just special times. Special times of your life. And at times, horrible times of your life. There was nothing worse than getting beat for the Brockers. But it was nothing more satisfying than beating them as well. But they were the monkey on our back. We couldn't get the monkey off our back. They had the voodoo on us for a long time, and we just could not get them. And it took the cup final, and I have to mention it, the cup final at Huntley, that, to be honest, should never have been played for the qualifying cup, and we beat them 7-0. And it was just, it was every single thing we did went right that day. But when you looked at the pitch and the conditions, I don't think it should have ever been played. But the standard football that we delivered that day was second to none. I mean, they just could not live with us. And after that, they then struggled to beat us, so it was like the tables had turned slightly. But yeah, I loved those games. Absolutely loved them.
No, I was just going to say, you're doing yourself a slight disservice in that game. I think it was 8-0, wasn't it?
8-0, sorry, yes, you're right, 8-0.
So we'll make sure we'll get that the score right. So was it one of those games where it didn't really matter what you did in that season, but just beating the Brock was more important, or did you still want to try and succeed within the league as well, though?
No, I think wanting to succeed in the league as well, I mean, you know, derbies are derbies at the end of the day. You know, and the same with Rangers, Celtic, Dundee, Dundee United, Hibs and Hearts. But there was always a little bit of a niggle with us in Cove as well, because Peterhead had quite a high percentage of players from Aberdeen. So it became a sort of unofficial sort of derby as well, because Cove were predominantly all Aberdeen-based players. So there was always a little bit of a dig, a bit of a needle in those games as well. But yeah, no, any time you play Fraser Bar, you know, there was always an element of, you know, how we're going to beat them today. And you know, you used to dread seeing Michael Stephen, you know, playing wide right. I mean, he was phenomenal. Could turn a game just from absolutely nowhere. There were great games, but no, it definitely didn't remove the focus on the league. Absolutely not.
In terms of the league positions, your first couple of seasons were 14th and then 11th, but the points were getting better and better. And then 94-95 we finished 4th, and then 96-97 we finished 3rd. So there was that steady progress. And did you notice that in terms of the progress that the club was making upwards in the league?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the board changed. You know, Roger Peel and Roger Morrison came in, the board started to change. There was a lot bit more more support from companies in terms of the sponsoring, etc. Manager, you know, George moved on, Jim Guyne came in sort of temporarily, you know, Davey Watson then came in, then you had Mitch and Rory. So each manager comes on always has a different view of how they see the team and what the team needs to succeed. Every manager wants to come in and succeed, whether that's winning a cup or winning a league. And I think every manager that did come in had their own views of how they saw the club. And I think, you know, when you look at, you know, board of directors in terms of that decision-making around who they take to run the team, etc. I think, you know, some boards make mistakes. I think when you look at bringing Davey, I mean, Davey Watson, for me, probably doesn't get as much credit as maybe should have done, but he certainly brought a vast number of players that came in that started to turn the results around and we started winning trophies and then the league, etc. But obviously Ronnie and Mitch did an excellent job adding to that and bringing us to where we did with the trophies. But Davey was certainly, he was one of those managers who was very good at getting the right type of players into the club. And we just started strengthening the team and you could see us getting stronger. We had an excellent, you know, that year we won the league, we had an excellent team. And you look at the players like Andy Gibson, you know, full-time Aberdeen, you know, just a phenomenal player. He struggled to get a game. And he wouldn't make any bones about it. You ask him now, he said, well, you know, the team was winning every week. You know, how could I, you know, moan about not getting a game? But when he did get his opportunity, I mean, it was fantastic.
You mentioned the sort of change of the board and things like that. Did that come about hand in hand with, you know, the change of the stadium and moving to Balmoral? Was that ambitions there early on from Roger?
We were still a recreation park at the time. What goes on in the boardroom probably stays in the boardroom in terms of those decisions. You know, did they come in with a view to take the club to a different venue, and was that part of their thoughts about going higher? I haven't got a clue, honestly. I just know that when they did come in, both Rogers had an appetite to get the club back to where it used to be, you know, in the early 80s and 70s, where, you know, Peterhead were a huge force to be reckoned with as a Highland League club. And I think they probably saw an opportunity with, you know, with the new stadium and potentially going into a new league. how those conversations came about, I'm not sure, but it's certainly something I don't think we'd look back on and think it was the wrong thing to do. I think it definitely was the right thing. Albeit you will have people that say, no, never have joined, we should have always stayed at the recreation park, but you're never going to please everybody. But I think over the piece, I think the majority of the Peterhead community will think they've made the right decision.
So that's part one there of our interview with Steve King. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Big thanks to Steve for joining us. Join us next time for part two, when we'll hear his memories of winning the Highland League title in 1999 and joining the Scottish Football League back in 2000. Until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.